This is World Lutheran News Digest, an audio news magazine bringing you a look at significant events in worldwide Lutheranism. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
I'm Buzz Ulrich.
I'm Liz Hoffman.
And I'm Kip Allen.
Today on World Lutheran News Digest,
Lutheran leaders of the Ethiopian Evangelical Church Makani Yesus have made a major announcement regarding those churches who have openly accepted same-sex marriage.
The future of Lutheranism quite possibly may reside in Africa rather than Europe or America.
It's the second leading cause of death after HIV and AIDS, malaria.
And now, today's Fast Track. The General Assembly of the Ethiopian Evangelical Church Makani Yesus made a major decision regarding churches who have openly accepted same-sex marriage. The EECMY released a statement that says it requested the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America and Church of Sweden to reverse their decisions regarding same-sex marriage and calling of homosexuals into ordained ministry. However, after not receiving the expected positive response from the two churches, the Makani Yesus 19th General Assembly voted to terminate the partnerships. You'll hear more on this story in a few minutes on World Lutheran News Digest.
In news from Lutheran Church Canada, the Board of Regents of Concordia Lutheran Seminary in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, has called Reverend Dr. Carl Fakinsher to serve as the seminary's new president. Dr. Fakinsher currently serves as Professor of Pastoral Ministry and Missions and Dean of Pastoral Education and Certification at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, USA. He is also editor of Concordia Pulpit Resources and has served as an editor. Dr. Fakinsher is also a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Commission on Theology and Church Relations. He tells WLN Digest that he is prayerfully considering the call but has not made a decision.
An African Lutheran Theological Conference with members of church bodies from 15 countries was hosted this week on the campus of Wisconsin International University in Accra, Ghana. The conference was held to deepen the understanding of confessional Lutheran doctrine and practice and to strengthen the relationships between churches. The conference theme, the third article of the Creed, the Holy Spirit, under a general theme of Lutheranism in the 21st century, included speakers from Kenya, Ghana, the United States, and attendees from Nigeria, Togo, Uganda, Tanzania, South Africa, Liberia, Sierra Leone, and other nations.
In the United States, the Association of Lutheran Development Executives, or ALDE, held an international conference. Dr. Kurt Senske, Chief Executive Officer of Lutheran Social Services of the South Incorporated in Austin, Texas, was given the Outstanding Executive Award during the conference at Indianapolis, Indiana. The award to Senske honored his vision and inspirational leadership, effectiveness in management and fundraising, boldness in proclaiming the importance of Christian leadership through public speaking or writing were among reasons for honoring Dr. Senske.
Meanwhile, in Novosibirsk, Siberia, the long nights and dark mornings allowed for the burning of lights. The reason for the winter lights in Siberia is the long-standing tradition of the Orthodox Church members of the delayed celebration of the Russian Christmas and Epiphany. But Lutheran pastor Alan Ludwig, missionary professor, also reports that Army Day, or the Day of Defenders in late February, and International Women's Day in March are two more reasons that the lights remain on longer in Siberia. Well, that, and it's simply too cold to take the lights down.
This is World Lutheran News Digest. ഇത് ലോക ലൂഥറൻ വാർത്താ പരിപാടിയാകുന്നു.
Martin Luther once said, "Anyone who is to find Christ must first find the church. How could anyone know where Christ is and what faith is in him unless he knew where his believers are?" We know that his believers today are certainly in Africa, as the countries in Africa have experienced explosive growth within the Lutheran church. The future of Lutheranism quite possibly may reside in Africa rather than Europe or America. In Africa today, there are nearly 20 million Lutherans. These are people who attend church nearly every Sunday, unlike in Europe or America. Reverend Dr. Al Culver is the Director of Church Relations for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and he explains why the Lutheran faith is possibly so strong in Africa.
You know, the Holy Spirit works when and where He pleases, and it pleases the Lord to work in Africa. I think if you also look at Africa, though, when people are faced with hardships and they realize that they may not be alive tomorrow or next week, they're looking for something to fill that void, and the message of the gospel and the work that Christ has done for us certainly is that. People in Africa don't have some of the same barriers we do in the United States or in Western Europe. They tend to believe the Bible at face value, and so they hear the gospel and faith is created, and many, many conversions happen. And Ethiopia, they're planting 500 congregations a year.
That faith that is planted leads to a strong commitment. The loyalty these people have demonstrated to Jesus Christ is unlike most other areas in the world.
On Sunday morning, the service for Transfiguration was 3 hours long, and that's a normal service length. Church started at 7 a.m., and that's due in part so people could go off to work if they needed to after church. In Africa, it's fairly common for services to be 3 hours.
Reverend Dr. Culver says these commitments of faith should be considered by other regions in the world.
At the rite of confirmation, the parents are asked to come up to the altar rail and to commit that their children will learn the catechism and that they will make sure that their children receive instruction in the catechism. I see those commitments and that this is the outgrowth of their faith, that they believe this is so important that they're willing to come up to the altar and say, yes, my child is going to do that. And you know, that's a fruit of faith. And it would be wonderful to see similar things in the United States and in our congregation.
Meet Shara Cunningham. She serves as a missionary for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in Kenya, East Africa.
You have a whole wealth of feelings when you know there's poverty and some suffering and you don't really understand it. So I said, well, Lord, I really feel that I can be an example of you to these people. This was like a fire in me. And I just prayed after I think about the fifth short-term trip that, you know, Lord, I feel that this is where you're calling me to be. I feel this is who you created me to be a missionary, to serve you.
The works of missionaries, such as Shara, has aided in the spiritual growth of Lutherans in Africa. Shara describes the joys of planting the seeds of faith.
I worked with an orphan project and a preschool in South Africa, and I just absolutely love working with the children and just the hugs and the smiles that they give you when you come around. They just run to you. And I think also just the people. I love being in villages. I worked in a village in South Africa, and just getting to meet with people, sitting with the older people, listening to their stories, just even just sitting there and being with them. In Kenya, I had the opportunity to work in some smaller villages, and just taking the time to sit with people, I enjoyed being able to just spend time with them. I had the opportunity to sit in a Maasai home, one of the little Bomas, and visit with some of the ladies. And I went in and just kind of sat down around the fire with them. And they were so tickled and they started giggling, but it was fun and I had a good time. So I hope to be able to do more things like that and spend more time with the people, just getting to know who they are. So I really like just spending time with people and children when I get the opportunity.
While the African churches are showing themselves a willingness to resist anti-scriptural ideas imposed on them by Europe and America, the African Lutheran churches face many challenges as well. Reverend Dr. Al Culver is confident that despite their challenges, we will continue to hear more from the growing Lutheran churches of Africa.
You have between Tanzania, Ethiopia, and Madagascar, you have approximately 15 or 16 million Lutherans. And then when you add in other Lutheran churches in Africa and Nigeria and other places, there might be close to, I don't know, 20 million Lutherans in Africa. So the Lutheran church in Africa is fairly significant and I believe likely to be the future of Lutheranism in the world.
Hey. WLN Digest will have continual coverage on the Lutheran Church and its growth in Africa.
This is World Lutheran News Digest. The work that he will see Lutheran Fahawa.
Lutheran leaders of the Ethiopian Evangelical Church Makani Yesus have made a major announcement regarding, quote, those churches who have openly accepted same-sex marriage, end quote, namely the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America and the Church of Sweden. Dr. Waxio Medosa, president of the EECMY, says the Ethiopian Lutheran Church body recognized that the challenges and changes that we encounter in our contexts are forcing us to make decisions which are consistent with our belief about God and our biblical, theological, and ethical understandings. The EECMY Committee of Mutual Christian Responsibility met this month and included officials from both the ELCA and the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The LCMS Director of Church Relations, Dr. Al Culver, attended the EECMY committee meetings and reports the membership made a major decision at their General Assembly meeting.
The Makani Yesus Church in Ethiopia voted in their General Assembly to break fellowship with the ELCA, and the ELCA has sent out press releases about that, on how their churches will no longer celebrate communion.
Dr. Culver says the EECMY is being faithful to the Holy Scriptures.
I think the Ethiopian church is sad at the decision by their former historic partners, and they would like to see repentance. So there's actually a deep sense of sadness. However, they're also very glad that their church has made a decision and they will stand by the Word of God.
The Ethiopian Evangelical Church Makani Yesus said in a statement that actions it took over the past several years included asking the ELCA and Church of Sweden to reverse their decisions regarding same-sex marriage and calling of gay persons into ordained ministry, quote, lest the EECMY would be forced to terminate her relationship. The statement went on to say, sadly, the repeated endeavors of the EECMY on this line failed to obtain the expected positive response from the two churches. Thus, the Makani Yesus 19th General Assembly unanimously endorsed the termination of the partnership that had existed for around 50 years. LCMS President Reverend Dr. Matthew C. Harrison noted the weightiness of the decision, saying his church body, quote, stands ready to talk with the EECMY if or when they are ready, and we invited them for further discussions on how we can together serve the Lord and His people.
This is World Lutheran News Digest. Idu Loga Lutheran Vartha Parivadi Agunu. Ya Vishwa Lutheran Samachar Hai.
It's a silent killer that's wiping out more people than war, malnutrition, or heart disease. It's the second leading cause of death after HIV and AIDS. Malaria. It's the deadly disease carried through the mosquito. To many areas of the world, mosquitoes are a nuisance. But to the people in Africa, a bite from an infected mosquito can be life-threatening.
The statistics are mind-boggling. Every 60 seconds, a child dies from malaria, meaning 1,440 children are dying every day. The terror of so many people, primarily children, are crying out for help. Martha Mitkus is the director of the Lutheran Malaria Initiative for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. She says that with the help of the Lutheran Malaria Initiative, along with the World Lutheran Relief, the battle can be won against this disease. Martha explains what is being done.
So we're providing them with not only access to medication and rapid testing kits and insecticide-treated bed nets, but we're also providing them, more importantly, the education as to what malaria is, how it spread, and how they can protect their families for a minimal cost. And so for us, providing them with these insecticide-treated bed nets, it's the cheapest and most effective way at this time to prevent the spread of malaria.
Providing test kits, medication, and bed nets to millions of people is an enormous task with a huge price tag. Martha explains how these effective methods of prevention are being carried out.
We are working in partnership with the United Nations Foundation. They have provided a grant to cover the administrative costs of the initiative. So every dollar we raise goes directly toward our programming work in Africa. And all of that work is implemented through our pastors and teachers, our partner churches that are in these last-mile communities that don't have access to the governmental resources that are currently available in country.
Exciting things are going on with LCMS churches that are helping out with this initiative.
We are seeing congregations and schools getting on board and helping to raise funds for this initiative. And they're setting goals at all different levels. They're looking at their congregation and schools and what they are capable of doing. And for the cost of $10, you are able to provide a family with an insecticide-treated bed net, medication, and education needed to help protect their families from this disease. So we're working together with our partner churches. And here in the United States, Dion Lovestead Jones, who's our outreach manager for the Lutheran Malaria Initiative, works with our congregations and schools to help provide them with resources and ideas as to how they can get involved. And there's all kinds of information on our Facebook page, as well as the website. And so we're asking people to join us on the Facebook page, read the stories, and if you join us, you're able to then receive the email updates that are coming every month of stories of what congregations are doing to help raise funds and educate not only their parishioners, but also their community at large as to how we can have a large impact on what's happening in the world.
Dion Lovestead Jones is the Manager of Development Outreach at Lutheran Malaria Initiative, and she works with congregations and schools of the LCMS, where she provides them with resources for fundraising. She went with the Lutheran Malaria Initiative to Kenya for a net distribution project. Dion describes her experience.
We had numerous different occasions to interact with the people of Kenya. We worked alongside with them in distributing bed nets in their communities in two different occasions. Actually, we worked in four different communities all together. There was a group of 15 of us. And in doing so, we worked in the communities visiting shut-ins who could not make it to a community-based event for an overall net distribution project. And during those shut-in visits, we had the opportunity to not just share and hang a net, but we got to share the love of Jesus and our love for the people of Kenya and really reach out with the gospel and pray with them and be able to just have that time together in distributing the net. Use that time for education on why you use the net and how you use the net to properly hang it. And we did assist them in hanging the net if needed.
Dion recalls how rewarding it was to help these people.
We had numerous different occasions to interact with the people of Kenya. We worked alongside with them in distributing bed nets in their communities in two different occasions. Actually, we worked in four different communities all together. There was a group of 15 of us. And in doing so, we worked in the communities visiting shut-ins who could not make it to a community-based event for an overall net distribution project. And during those shut-in visits, we had the opportunity to not just share and hang a net, but we got to share the love of Jesus and our love for the people of Kenya and really reach out with the gospel and pray with them and be able to just have that time together in distributing the net. Use that time for education on why you use the net and how you use the net to properly hang it. And we did assist them in hanging the net if needed.
Martha Mitkus stresses how something as small as $10 goes so very far.
To have a child die every 60 seconds from something that's completely preventable and treatable, and we have the ability to affect with such a small amount of money. You know, if you really think about what $10 is, and you're helping to provide the opportunity for a family not only to be safe from this disease, but to have the opportunity to hear the gospel of Christ and what he has done for us in dying on the cross. And during this time of Lent, as we're thinking about all of the things that God has done for us in helping to save us from our own sins, and to know what a blessing that is, to be able to share that with other people that have not had the opportunity to hear. But the pastors and teachers in the regions we're working are the most respected authorities. So to be able to utilize their gifts and talents to be able to reach out and spread the gospel, as well as reach out with Christ's hand of mercy, it has such a lasting impact for these people, and they see the church as a place of hope and they come back to hear again and again about what Christ has done for them.
Some upcoming events will encourage more congregations to get involved.
April 25th is World Malaria Day. It's the day when everyone across the world is asked to think about what they can do to help eliminate malaria deaths in Africa, to pray for the people that are suffering from malaria and are fighting it every day, and to see what they can do to get involved. And so the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is having an Orange Out Malaria Day on April 28th. It's the Sunday after World Malaria Day. And we're asking congregations to dress in orange to show support for the Lutheran Malaria Initiative.
Martha stresses that through God's grace, the ultimate goal will be reached.
We are able to beat this completely preventable and treatable disease by working together to help end malaria deaths in Africa.
For more information on the fight against malaria and the Lutheran Malaria Initiative, log on to KFUO.org for a link to the website.
This is World Lutheran News Digest.
The Royal Baby.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
The language abortion advocates use often masks the real issue. For example, the killing of a baby is called termination, and the ability to do so is the right to choose. Sometimes, though, it's hard to keep up the verbal charade. Take, for example, the news that British royal family member Kate Middleton is pregnant. None of the usually pro-abortion news outlets are touting the expected arrival of a fetus or lump of tissue. Instead, the unborn child is referred to as the royal baby. The personhood of the unborn baby doesn't seem to be in question.
Are you pro-life? Then visit our website at sba-list.org and discover how you can make a difference. I'm Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. Thanks for taking a stand.
This is World Lutheran News Digest.
We commemorate the birth anniversary of Philip Melanchthon, confessor, who was born on February 16, 1497. At an early age, his family set him on a course of scholastic achievement that stayed with him the rest of his life. Born Philip Schwarzard, he was influenced by his uncle, Johannes Reuchlin, to learn Latin and Greek and enjoy classic literature. By age 16, Melanchthon had already completed studies at two universities and was summoned at age 21 to teach at the University of Wittenberg, where he fast became a friend with Martin Luther. He became an instant hit with the students and faculty.
His area of interest and specific expertise was what we today would call classics. That would be Greek and Latin, especially Greek.
That's historian Dr. Martin Noland, pastor at Trinity Lutheran Church in Evansville, Indiana, in the U.S. Dr. Noland has studied Philip Melanchthon extensively and says the confessor had a large role in what has become known as Lutheran theology.
His contribution is it's very significant. You know, Luther gets all the press. He often, in surveys, is considered one of the most important people in world history, certainly for modern history. But he couldn't have accomplished half what he did without Philip Melanchthon. So he's very important to Lutherans.
Concordia Seminary St. Louis Professor Emeritus of Systematic Theology, Dr. Robert A. Kolb, has also done extensive studies of Philip Melanchthon. Dr. Kolb says the University of Wittenberg proved to be a great ground for Melanchthon to learn theology with Martin Luther. The two men developed a good rapport and knew each other's strengths and weaknesses as they taught at Wittenberg. Melanchthon was well received for his skills as a teacher and theological writer.
He was also very much concerned about good communication, good use of psychology. They didn't have sociology in those days, and good use of communication devices and the like. But I think theologically, too, both Luther and Melanchthon talked a great deal about the biblical thrust that God is totally responsible for everything as creator, and that he has created us in his image and given us, in our own spheres, total responsibility as well.
Dr. Robert Kolb says the man who became author of the Augsburg Confession, Philip Melanchthon, held strong to Luther's theses.
Melanchthon provides some really good models for distinguishing law and gospel and for taking seriously our responsibility, but always recognizing that God is responsible through the work of the Holy Spirit in his word.
Both Dr. Kolb and Dr. Noland say the importance of Philip Melanchthon to the Lutheran Reformation cannot be understated. Philip Melanchthon was born February 16, 1497, and died in April 1560. He was buried in Wittenberg beside Martin Luther.
This is World Lutheran News Digest.
And now, a laugh for Lutherans.
Do Lutherans laugh?
A new pastor was visiting in the homes of his parishioners. At one house, it seemed obvious that someone was at home, but no answer came to his repeated knocks at the door. So he took out a business card and wrote Revelation 3:20 on the back of it and stuck it in the door. When the offering was processed the following Sunday, he found that his card had been returned. Added to it was this cryptic message, Genesis 3:10. Reaching for his Bible to check out the citation, he broke up in gales of laughter. Revelation 3:20 begins, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Genesis 3:10 reads, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid, for I was naked."
World Lutheran News Digest is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO. You can also listen to WLN Digest on demand at KFUO.org. To correspond with World Lutheran News Digest, write to WLN Digest, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105, or email news@KFUO.org.